quarters that I would desire to try and make a few remarks from. And you will find in the fourth chapter, first epistle of John, the last clause in the eighth verse. The last clause in the eighth verse of the fourth chapter, first epistle of John. God is love. God is love. It's wonderful how John was led into the love of God, and how in this epistle before us he sets it forth so clear that his people can behold in it those things that they desire to know and to experience. And I've often thought, and I've thought even this morning concerning John, he loved his master, and how one felt that if we could only experience a little of that in our souls, how he laid upon his breast at supper. Wonderful love. But you know, we need the Spirit to lead us into that path. For none of us can in any wise accomplish any one thing to bring forth in our own souls the blessedness of the truth that God is love. This does not come from nature. It's not understood by the carnal mind. For the carnal mind is enmity against God and would rise up in judgment against all his works and against all his dealings toward us. And there will be those times arising up in our hearts, it may be, questioning the dealings of God with us, which arise again from our wicked flesh, which is enmity against God. But his love is still maintained and made known in our souls by the Blessed Spirit, that though we by nature are sinners, and though we are still of the earthy, and though we are still compassed about by this tenement of clay, yet his love is an unchangeable love. How he said, it is a mercy thine change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. While this love was made known in eternity past, made known in the realms above, before Adam's dust was fashioned to a man. It was made known in the eternal everlasting covenant. And ordered by the sacred three that that love should be placed upon a people that should be given unto the Son in that covenant. The love of God is rich and free, fixed on His own eternally, as you've been singing. Therefore, that love of God was so deep, and is so deep, and unfathomable, that God the Father, with the Son and the Spirit, should devise a way whereby His people should be delivered from sin and all its consequences. Well, then it is an everlasting love. It began in eternity toward His people and will never know an end. An everlasting love. Therefore, that love of God which is fixed upon His people in eternity, the day with them will surely come when that love will be known to the full in the realm of eternal joy and peace. But there are those seasons during life's journey where there will be many things arise in our pathway that will cause us to fear lest that love had not been made known to us, because of God's dealings with us. And therefore, this love that is put upon His people in eternity is made known through life's journey by His dealings with us. As so though it is an everlasting love, it is also a daily love, a love that watches over us daily, as so that another holy cross of earth or hell can destroy that love. However you may be harassed and tormented by the archenemy of souls, however you may be driven hither and thither, however many questionings there may arise in your heart and mind as to our standing, we would thank Him for this wonderful truth, that God is love, that nothing can prevent or turn Him from His love. And though you and I have these exercises, it is His love that causes those exercises, that we fall on asleep or settle down upon a sandy foundation, that we might have a lively religion, not in activity, as many would have us believe, but a lively religion in prayer and faith unto Him. Lively in our attendance unto the means of grace. Lively in our prayers, our day by day. Some of us have to mourn, do we not, the many hours that slip away, even in our lives, when prayer seems to be lying dormant. Well, it is by His love that He brings something to bear upon us that causes us to pray. And not with the lip only, but those prayers that come from our very heart unto Him. And it is those prayers which are the cause brought to bear upon us through His love will surely be answered, because those prayers are according to His will. You know, we might pray sometimes, and what our own will, come to God with a dictatorial spirit. May want something to come to pass in our lives. And then tell God how we want it done. You know, as some of us have had these periods of time, and then we've wondered why these things have not come to pass that we've been asking for. Well, it is according to His will that He answers. Therefore, He is a God of love, in that He deals with us as children. The mercy He deals with us as children. And when He sees that we are or hears us ask for those things that would not be good for us, like the earthly parent, says no, out of love to the child, knowing it would be bad for them to receive it. So our Heavenly Father, who is a God of love, answers sometimes with a no, while the flesh may twist at it, like the child who is reproved, while the flesh may would desire to have it some other way. Yet He in love, knowing all things and seeing the end from the beginning, withholds from us in love, and withholds from us those things which we might think have been taken from us, and then find in our hearts a rising up against God. Well, it's a wonderful mercy. Even all His dealings with us, we behold His love. Some of us have to look back upon life's journey and behold His love. Well, there is His chastening love. His chastening love. We heard of His love in the past week. But there is that chastening love when He comes and chastens us. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. purge every son whom we receive. I know enough about the chastening of God to know the flesh doesn't like it. Some of us know enough about it in the past, when we rebelled against it. When had he not been a sovereign, mighty and eternal God, who had an unchangeable love, he would have cast us off. He would have never had any more dealings with us. He would have caused his wrath to be poured out upon us for our rebellion. But you know, he is that one that causes these things to come, permits them to come, that we might know and prize more and more and more of that love, and also to prove the truth that is an unchangeable love. Well, as it is chastening love, there is forgiving love. Oh, how wonderful is his forgiveness to forgive us all our sins. While this love, this forgiving love, was made known through the purposes of the Father in sending the Son, that he might, in his love, come and offer up himself a living sacrifice, that you and I might be delivered from rebellion, from sin, from all that comes against us, so that his love was made known when our dear Savior came here on earth to redeem us from the fall, redeem us from this world and all its maxims, all that men look upon as being pleasure and joy. One day to prove that when they depart, their joys are ended for everlasting torment. Oh, my friend, the love of God, ever that he had devised a way whereby you and I may know something of it here on earth, when he shall come and say, Son, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Everyone, past, present, and to come, and to have that love shed abroad in our hearts, in that knowledge, that when the time comes for us to be removed from this time stage, the love of God will be known to the full in eternal and everlasting joy forever and ever and ever. Oh, the vastness of that love to be known throughout eternity. I tried just recently to think upon eternity for a few moments. You know, it's a sacred place to come to, and a very humiliating place to think upon eternity. Never ending. Can't fathom it as creatures, can we? Eternity, tremendous sound. The beauty souls a dreadful womb, but oh, if God and heaven be mine, how sweet, yes, divine. Spend a long eternity with him, who is a God of love, to be delivered from all our fears, to be delivered from the torments of Satan, to be delivered from all those things which trouble us in the day we live, in this troubled world of ours. And now we have an inheritance that is undefiled, and now we have a dwelling place in the God of love. And now we have a hope within us, and when the battle's all and victory won, there is a crown of life which fadeth not away, which he, the God of love, hath provided for us. To return with regard to our dear Savior, when in his love he came here on earth, that he might, as we read in the 10th verse, here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin. Oh, what a mercy it is that if we have some of that hope within us, that he came for that express purpose, that you and I might have a full and free remission of our sins, that they were laid upon him, the scapegoat, that the vineyard of blood could not come anywhere near unto our dear Savior. Oh, what a deep there is in the coming of the Lord and Savior, who lay co-equal, co-eternal with the Father before all worlds, and then took upon himself the form of a servant, condescended to be made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, and came in that miraculous birth here on earth, born of a virgin, born by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. So deep, so profound is this carnal vision will never receive, O Father. I wonder not at wicked men turning from this truth, but nevertheless, what an unfavorable blessing if you and I, by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, receive it and believe it, the dear incarnate Lamb of God, behold him, sinner, as he came here on this earth, as a little babe in Bethlehem, one who came to save us even at the uttermost, as the Father saw fit to draw us unto his loving breast. Oh, the love of Christ, so rich, so free, so boundless, is a boundless love, a free love, an unmeasurable love, a love that none know but God's people, really and truly, though it be held by them, how his love is manifested throughout the world. Some might say it doesn't look much like it in the day we live. Well, it isn't what it looks like, it's what it is. God's love is so great that we cannot fathom how it is extended out even to the wicked in this day wherein we live. For you see how here he reigns upon the wicked and upon the just. He feeds them, clothes them. Oh, how deep are his wonderful works to the children of men. But his love then now, dear Savior, we may know Him that ultimately He shed His precious blood to atone for sin, that rich atoning blood which sprinkled round we see. Oh, how it gives us, doesn't it, a fresh help by the way. Encourages us to go forward, even in our present path, knowing that all our pathway to heaven is mapped out by Him, and that whatever path we may be in now, it is by His love. But when He came here, how He offered up Himself in a living sacrifice for sin, and in that sacrifice made full atonement unto the Father. And here the Father's love was made known unto the Son, in that He accepted His work as being complete, when He cried out upon the cross, "It is finished." Oh, how, as the poet said, "It is finished." Sinners hear it. Oh, to hear that voice of our dear Savior in the agony of His soul, saying, "It is finished." What for? Finished for and on your behalf and mine, because He was a God of love. That's why. Because He beheld the whole of His people, all His living family, as being one in Him, as before all worlds, come for that purpose in love, to redeem them out from the ruins of the fall. Well, His love is a protecting love. It protects them. It protects them out from the assaults of the enemy, who will never assault the work of God in the soul. Yea, He will come sometimes with His mighty power and attempt to destroy even that life, and He did with dear Job, which God said touched not his life, and He aimed at it continually. Well, that life, the life of God in the soul, is such that there is nothing that all that hell may do can in any wise thwart or overthrow the purposes of God towards you and I. Though we have endured many assaults from the enemy, yet our God lifted up the stands against him according unto his word, which He declares, "When the enemy cometh in like a flood, I will lift up a standard against him." That's our only hope, sinner. For I am sure that it had not been the case with some of us, we should be overcome by the mighty enemy. Remember, he was that one that even tempted even our dear Savior, dared him to doubt, even him, of whom Christ said, "He shall find nothing in me," but He finds everything in us to work upon. While our Savior bore these things in love to His people, what is an enduring love? It'll endure forever and ever. That love which was fixed upon them before all time, and will be on them through life's journey and be with them in eternity to come, an enduring love, and a love that knows no change. Your love and mine changes. We barely do it off. We are human, you see. We are fleshly. A brother, you see, may. That is a brother in the truth, I mean, here. May lose his whole. May be sometimes hot, sometimes cold. But Jesus is the same. There is pretty no confidence in the flesh. Put no trust in a guide, friends, at any time. Though it does not mean that we shall not love one another. I love this chapter here. I wish it was more manifest in this poor sinner, that we could love one another more. Well, we shall love the principle of the Spirit within us. It doesn't mean we shall love each other's crotchety ways, or what we may be by nature. Oh, no. There's something far, far deeper in than this. There is indeed. It is that love of God in the soul. It is that principle within. It is that feeling of heartfelt union in love for those things which God has planted within. Why, you know, these things will overcome all faults and failings, this love in the soul, one to another. And we shall cover them. I don't mean cover their sin, but we shall cover their faults and failings, which are many. Why, I sometimes, if I may break away here, I look at myself and I feel so full of them. And as I look back upon my life, sometimes I've said of late, a wasted life. But he's a God of love. He's the same, you see, today, yesterday, and forever. And he's unchangeable. And therefore, though we speak thus, a God is that one that hath, I believe, ordered all things by his sovereign will. And that none of us would walk in another man's line of things concerning what God has done for us. It's a mercy we can't. You know, if we try to imitate another, we shall get on the wrong ground. But what God has taught us, these things we declare unto you. The same as what dear John said here, in these particular chapters, and also the Apostle Paul, when he came before King Agrippa, speaking none other things than those which the prophets, the patriarchs, the prophets, and others did speak, saying that Jesus should come and that he should deliver his people from their sins. While we desire to preach none other, how about Jesus? Now it was with dear Philip. How that he, to the eunuch, he preached unto him Jesus. Oh, to be preserved from preaching oneself, or preaching another man's line of things, which we might have gathered up over life, through life's journey. But to preach Jesus, those things which he may reveal unto us in a lesser or greater degree, and in that prove his love made known in keeping us from the works of men, keeping us from those things which might be a hindrance to us, rather than to a hell. But when we are unable to come, cast ourselves wholly, solely and completely upon him, and prove that his love is made known in leading us into those things which shall be profitable for our souls. Well, then God is love. His love is made known when his people meet together from time to time in his earthly courts. It is here they come sometimes and lose their load. They may into his earthly courts feeling burdened, cast down, and well nigh destroyed. But when they behold that he is a God of love, that he is that one that is perfect love, which casteth out fear, that perfect love, which casteth out fear. Did you come here this morning full of fear, sinner? Well, it is perfect love that casteth out that fear. The love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost will cast out all fear, fear of eternal and everlasting damnation. The love of God, I say, shed abroad in the heart, I will cast out that slavish fear, that torment. I am a witness of it. I know it to be true. Not always there, but we know it to be true. Therefore we testify of those things we have tasted, handled and felt of the good word of life, though we are not at the moment in the enjoyment of it, but we do not cast it away because we're not in the present enjoyment of it, but we speak it to the comfort of any that might be in fear, that you might know more of the love of God shed abroad in the heart, which casteth out that fear. And that love which is shed abroad in the heart is that God in you, the hope of glory. It is he that is in the soul, dwells in the soul, and that causes this love, the love of God, to be in exercise. If one were to come and ask us, do we love God? Well, you know, we should have to say, we love him. We may have perhaps some fears if we love him to the desire we would, but nevertheless, we certainly could not say no. Well, we love him because he first loved us. Why, you know, his love has been put upon us in all, before all worlds. Well, doesn't it prove that he loved us before we loved him? Why, you see, it is in the fullness of time it is made manifest that our love is unto him and made known in our souls. Oh, that love then which is made known and asked for in some cases. I didn't ask for it, but his love was made known to this poor sinner at the age of 14 years old. But we spurned it away, you know. We tried to put it from us and show no evidences of it around us. The deep, deep work of God, my friend, unfathomable for those who walk in it. But to behold his love watching over us from our birth to to this very moment of time, that you and I, all of us, are here this morning as monuments of his sparing mercy, whether we fully realize it or not. For if he had been strict of marked iniquity in any of us, we shouldn't have been here. At least I shouldn't. For I should have been long where there should be no hope or mercy could ever come. But his love, watching over us in the deepest temptations of the enemy, watching over us in all our trials and difficulties, for some of us have had many, and I thought, only on the past evening concerning how the world have their troubles and have none to go to but the world. But you and I have the God of love. We've got the God of love to go to in our troubles. That is to us, isn't it? Sometimes, at least we feel it, a great help to know that we have a God of love in heaven that we can go to in all our troubles, whatever they are, whatever kind, however heavy they may be upon us, we know that we have in heaven that God of love who is our burden bearer, that there is nothing too heavy to bring him. For you know, I would refer here to the word in Isaiah when he says that the government is upon his shoulder, which denotes strength and power and might. And so it is that there's no trouble, however heavy, however burden you may be, that is too big to bring, and I'm sure there's nothing too little, to bring unto him. And it may be you can only bring it by a thought or an upward glancing of an eye to him that sitteth upon the throne, to hear the groans and cries of his people. Yea, and those that thought upon his name. Oh, how deep then is his love in these things. The time is gone. While one feels them only touched upon the fringe, but none can enter into the depth of God's love. None can ever really, go into it in its fullness unless the Spirit opened it up. Well, I feel there's so much in it that it would take a lifetime to attempt to try to get to the depth of it. We shall never, never know the depth of it. And then I don't feel we shall know it then to the full in eternity to come. Because it's a never-ending love, you see. We shall never get to the depth of it. An never-ending love in heaven above. May you and I be favored to know it. And we may hear that voice. Come ye blessed of my Father, and the kingdom is prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For may the Lord add his blessing to the two remarks we give of our said one. Amen.